Is there anybody here that can testify that when you needed grace, God said, I got your back? He gave you amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Is there anybody here that when you were in your sins, God said, I got you and gave you mercy? I don't know about you, but I'm a little
parables that Jesus shared with his disciples and with that congregation that had gathered to hear him preach and to hear him teach. It is in that 13th chapter, beginning with the 43rd verse, we find our text and our place of reasoning for the morning. Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven. He uses the kingdom parables. He talks about our kingdom and the other kingdom. Verse 43, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hidden in a field, the which when a man has found, he hideth, and for joy therefore goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant, man seeking godly pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Let me share with you also that 47th through the 49th verse. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good unto vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world, that the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and lashing of teeth. Jesus said unto them, have ye understood all these things? And they said unto him, yea, Lord. The word of God that leads us in the preaching of the word of God. I want to talk this morning for a few minutes about the great pearl of life. The great pearl of life. Look at your neighbor and say to your neighbor, neighbor, you are one of God's great pearls. Come on, you are one of God's great pearls. We can all make something good and beautiful out of an irritant in life. Everyone has irritations in their life. The oyster takes an irritation grit, and makes it into a pearl. We can make the irritations in our lives into something beautiful by coating them with love. No one ever lives life without having to overcome problems or difficulties. Do you agree with me? No one ever lives life without having to overcome problems or difficulties. Problems and difficulties are part of life. They are irritants that bother us, but we can overcome every problem, every situation with love. Everyone has to learn to handle the irritations that come alone. Can anyone tell me how a pearl is made? I just shared with you. A pearl is made because a grit gets into the oyster shell, and in that shell it irritates the tenderness of the oyster. But the oyster covers it. He covers it with a liquid substance that is made from within. And he covers it until that irritant goes away and becomes a pearl.
Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, you can bother me all you want to. You can irritate me all you want to. But guess what? I'm going to overshadow you. I'm going to cover you with love. Sometimes something happens to us that is very irritating. It even hurts us. However, God has given us the ability to handle these irritations when they occur. We all have inside of us the ability to coat and to cover the irritations of life, and that something is called love. That something is called love. By coating our irritations in life with love, we can make something that is awful into an object of great beauty. Men and women in every age have wanted and prayed for the kingdom and for the reign of God to come on earth. In other words, they have wanted the kingdom of God to be here on earth. God's kingdom or reign comes when each person on his or own choice do what God's will is. Not only when they get to heaven is that to be done, but this also while they are living life here on earth. That is what you and I are praying for when we say the Lord's Prayer. We're asking that your kingdom come, that your will be done on earth as in heaven. I personally would not put a comma after the word done as is translated and punctuated in the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. Rather, I would instead place it after the word earth. We are here, I believe, and asking that your kingdom, God's will, be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's kingdom in heaven is God's business, but God's kingdom on earth is our business. Our business is to do God's work, to build God's kingdom here on earth. We are soldiers. We are sojourners here on earth. We are pilgrims in a barren land, but we are God's people, called of God to be about his work. In Matthew 28, he gives the command to go, to teach, to preach, to baptize in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. We have the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit on our side. God's kingdom in heaven is God's business, but his kingdom on earth is ours, yours and mine. It is necessary for us to be willing to work toward the ultimate end, regardless of the cost to us. It is precisely for this reason that Jesus told the series of parables in today's scripture lesson. He wanted his hearers to know that the cost of the kingdom of heaven is extremely expensive. There is no other way for human beings to act and to live except for the will of God. In the first two parables, Jesus used the parables as an example of the beauty of the kingdom of heaven. The pearl had a special place in the hearts and lives of men and women in Jesus' day. Not only was a pearl considered to be priceless, but it was also an article of great beauty. A person not only enjoyed possessing and owning it for its great wealth, but also it gave great pleasure to his owner to hold and to admire. The Romans and the Chinese of that day recognized the value of a pearl, so they learned to produce pearls artificially. Most of the pearls in the first century were found off the shores of the Red Sea and off the coast of Britain. What Jesus is saying is that the kingdom of heaven is like the pearl. It was considered not only to be the most precious gem of that day, but also is thought to be extremely beautiful. Likewise, the kingdom of God the kingdom that was God was not only the loveliest thing in heaven, but also here on earth. In the first parable, Jesus is reminding his hearers that if a person were to find a pearl in a field, that individual would be willing to pay anything in order to acquire it. We must remember that in those days, there were no safety deposit boxes in which to store one's valuables. Where would one put an article of treasure of great wealth? The answer is very simple. In the ground. It was in the ground. Thus someone must have had in the past hidden the pearl in the earth for safekeeping. Jesus will mention this fact of burying things in the ground again, but in a different context. When he tells of the parable of the talents, what did the slave do who was given one talent? He hid it in the ground. The slave told the master when he returned and wanted an accounting of the talent. I was afraid, he said, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. In telling this parable, Jesus is not implying that a person should be willing to defraud anyone or anything to purchase the pearl. That is not Jesus' point, nor the purpose for telling this story. The parable is told to stress to what length the man was willing to go by sacrificing in order to own the pearl. In this joy upon finding the treasure that someone had hidden, he sells all that he has and buys the field. Since it was a common custom to hide in the ground one's treasure, and the fact that the owner of the field was willing to sell it, the pearl was therefore not his. He didn't even know that the pearl was in the ground, and so he was willing to sell the land. Certainly, if he had hid it in the ground, he would have gone and dug it up from his hiding place before selling the land. Thus, Jesus' point is that it's worth everything that a man has in order to become the owner of the pearl. The second parable tells of a merchant who searches all over for fine pearls. When he finally finds one of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Jesus is saying that the kingdom of heaven is like the pearl that is the most precious thing in the world. In order to purchase this pearl, the merchant had to be willing to sell all that he had. In order to follow Christ, you and I must sell all that we have. We must give all the glory, all the honor to God. And so the Bible tells us that this man who wanted to buy the fine pearl took his savings, took all that he had to acquire and to buy the pearl. The kingdom is possible to attain only by the individual who's willing to do the will of God. It is the way in which he can be procured. True, it is a thing of beauty, but it cannot be obtained only, but it can be attained only by those who are willing to undergo constant self-denial, self-sacrifice, daily discipline, and bear one's own cross. Jesus Christ says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me daily. The merchant in this parable had been constantly searching for the pearl. In the first story, the man chances to find it in a field. In the second, the merchant spends his life searching and finally came upon the ultimate pearl. Nothing is too great a sacrifice or price to pay when one has a pearl of life within one's grasp. Nothing is so costly that you would not give your life for Christ. It is further implied that this pearl is the ultimate. Although there are many other pearls, the ultimate one is beyond all else. So too in life, One can find value in being good or searching for truth, in living for others, in expanding one's appreciation of culture. Yet, as wonderful as all these things may be, the ultimate truth is to real life, is to do God's will. As fine as all the other pearls may be, the ultimate pearl is being obedient to our Creator, to our God's will, because of our own choice. The third parable about the kingdom of heaven tells about a fisherman who cast a net into the sea. The net is undoubtedly the type that drags behind a boat. It collects all and catches all kinds of fish, as well as other matters from the sea. Jesus tells the story to illustrate that this is like life, as the net has all kinds of fish. We too encounter all kinds of people in life. Some people are good and others are bad. Some people are useful and others are useless. Some are thoughtful and others are thoughtless. Nevertheless, the judgment of these people is not ours to make. Judgment is God's providence. As Jesus said, "Do not judge so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged, and the measure you give, you will be measured by it." Life is meant to be inclusively and not exclusively. All of creation has been made by God. In seeking to bring God's kingdom here on earth, it behooves us to live peacefully with all humanity by doing God's will. The last parable teaches us that when the time comes for exclusivity or separation, it will be God who makes the judgment. God does not need us for this task. Our task is to serve, to do His will by bringing the kingdom of God to our earth. As our scripture lesson ends, Jesus reminds us that we come to Him, and when we come to Him, we come to Him just as we have been. The talents that we have are those which may develop the old and the new, and are what we must bring out of the treasure chest of life. All of this we do for His kingdom. And Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like the measure of a household, the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. God wants and needs all of us, all of us. Heaven help us if we don't give our best. The story is of this, that everyone has irritations. And everyone that has irritation, God has a cure for your irritation. And your irritation irritates God, and that is the sin of humankind. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And sin is an irritant to God. And when He looks at our sins, He turns away. But before He turns away, He covers us with love. That's why the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoso believeth in Him should not perish but have life everlasting." Keep on irritating God, and God's grace is available to you. The deeper your sin, the more His grace. Oh, help me somebody. When I think about the love of God, when I think about how I irritate Him by being selfish, I think about how unselfish God is to me. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died on Calvary. Is there anybody here that know that Christ died for your sins and for my sins? Can I tell you why He died? My soul is a great pearl. He made it in His own image, in His own likeness, and sent Jesus Christ all the way from heaven down to die for my sins and for your sins. I tell you, He covered me with love. He covered me with grace. He covered me with hope, and because of all of that, I'm now a pearl. And one day when this life is over, Jesus Christ said, I'm coming back for you that you may be where I am. And where I am going, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said, Lord, I don't know where you're going, and how can I know the way? Jesus said, I am the way. He is the way. Not only is he the way, but he said, I am the bread of life that came from heaven. I am the light of the world. He said, I am the living waters. When I think about the love of Christ, when I think about what he's done for me, my soul rejoices, because I am a pearl of God. If he didn't love me, he would not have sent his son. He would have let me and you die in our sins. But he saw in us what we could be. And because he saw what we could be, he sent his son to make us what we ought to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, irritate me all you want to, but I got some love for you. I got some grace for you. I got some mercy for you. I have some hope for you. And more than that, I got Jesus. And that's enough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Touch your neighbor again and tell your neighbor, you can't get out the shell till I open it up. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. How many of you love oysters? You love them fried, boiled, baked. But guess what? You can't get to it until you open the shell. God is saying to us today, I'm opening the kingdom. It's a pearl of great value. Only those who receive can enter in. Our deacons are coming. The door to my Father's house is standing wide open. Sing, choir. The church is standing. We're singing.
Talk like he used to talk.
Said,
when a man meets Christ, he don't walk like he used to walk. But when a man's been revived by the man called Jesus Christ, there be a difference, a difference, a difference in his life.
Come on, choir.
When a man meets,
come on, say it.
He don't walk like he used to walk. When a man meets Christ, he don't talk like he used to talk. But when a man has been revived by the man called Jesus Christ, there'll be a difference, a difference, a difference in his life.
Testing. Reverend Jemison, a member of Second Baptist Church. We have Miss Wheatley Olson wishing to become a member of Second Baptist Church on her medium baptism.
Little Miss Olson, let me welcome you to your church. This is your church. You run down these aisles and you talked and you sing in the choir and you're part of the choral readers. You have blessed my soul by your activity in the body of Christ. But today my soul is blessed because you are a pearl of Christ. You're one of God's chosen. You're part of the chosen generation. I've had the privilege of blessing you, baptizing your mother, and receive your grandmother as one of the first persons to join Second Baptist 23 years ago. She came running down the aisle, and now you have walked down the aisle with your mom. We've been praying for your mother for her healing, and God is continually healing her body. My understanding is that you want to be saved. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
The Bible says that if you believe on the name of Jesus Christ, do you believe on the name of Jesus Christ?
Yes, sir.
Do you believe that he is the Son of God?
Yes, sir.
And that God raised him from the dead?
Yes, sir.
The Bible said, you shall be saved. He or she who calls on the name of Jesus Christ shall be saved. Would you repeat this prayer after me? Dear Lord.
Dear Lord.
I thank you.
I thank you.
For being Lord.
For being Lord.
I thank you.
I thank you.
For saving.
For saving.
My mom.
My mom.
And my grandmother.
And my grandmother.
And I thank you.
And I thank you
for saving me.
And for saving me.
I am saved.
I am saved.
Because of your love.
Of your love.
Of your grace.
Of your grace.
And of your salvation.
Of your salvation.
Thank you again.
Thank you again.
For Jesus Christ.
For Jesus Christ.
Who died for my sins.
Who died for my sins.
My sins are forgiven.
My sins are forgiven.
My future sins.
My future sins.
Will be forgiven.
Will be forgiven.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
And hallelujah.
And hallelujah.
Thank you. We love you. We love you. We love you. I know where you're going to work, so you can return to your seat. You'll be baptized on May the 30th, along with your friend, your God brother. What's his name?
Which one?
Gabriel.
I always get mixed up with both of them.
Gabriel, and what's his last name?
Blanding.
Gabriel, Blanding, Charlene, and Jarvis have called the church and asked us if we would baptize Gabriel on their way to her new assignment. And I said, yes, we will be happy to. That's the 30th, okay? Oh, that's next Sunday. Next Sunday is not the 30th. It's the 28th. The 28th.
Next Sunday.
Say next Sunday.
Next Sunday.
Baptized.
Baptized.
Going in the water.
Going in the water.
Going
Wait.
In.
Going in.
Coming out.
Coming out. Wait.
Thank you. Church is standing. We're ready to go home. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, neighbor, you are a pearl. And Christ covers you with grace, mercy, love, and truth. Amen. Lord our God, we thank you for the parables that reminded us of the kingdom of God. Thank you for reminding us that we all were not good fish when we came into the net. But thanks be to God, you cleaned us up. And now we are invited to be part of your kingdom. Bless us and keep us. Make your face to shine upon us. Be gracious unto us. Lift your countenance upon us. Give us godly peace that we may be living testimonies and pearls of life in Christ in the kingdom of God. And now, may the grace of God, the love of God, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of Christ, the fellowship, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. And all the people of God said amen.
Amen.
And those who were not afraid shouted hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Go in peace.